I'm going to be preaching from Philippians. I'm going to start at chapter 1, verse 9. Verse 9, this I pray, that your love may abound more, may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. But I wish you should understand, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding everywhere, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice. Yea, and will rejoice, for I know this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the word you give us. We thank you for the encouragement. We thank you for the power. We ask you, Lord, that you'd give us the freedom and ease to speak that only you can give, that you would touch hearts and lives in this room today, and that we would be drawn closer to you in fellowship and in love and in actual lives. We thank you for everything that you've given to us, for your rich blessing, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I wish you would pray a prayer like this for me. Take a look at it. Verse 9. This I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. That's a pretty good piece of praying right there. It's a hard thing to get love. It's a hard thing for love to work out in the family or in the working of different things. We're all so selfish. And it's dangerous, you know. I used to pick up hitchhikers. I don't pick up hitchhikers anymore. But I remember when I was young, I picked them up all the time. I had actually a fellow that was in the Air Force with me in New Mexico. He lived for Houston. He would put his wife on the bus and he would stay there and wave bye to her. Then he would walk out of there, start hitchhiking. And then he would pick his wife up in Houston. He was there always ahead of her. He was a good hitchhiker. He didn't have a car. He's praying like this, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. You know, sometimes people love, but it's not in knowledge and in good judgment. Their love is there, but they're not very wise in the way they do things. I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent. How about praying for things that are excellent? How about praying for people to be grown up? How about praying for people to make good decisions? How about people to learn how to raise their children? How about people learning how to witness? Why, my, I tell you what, the world needs a good witness.
Amen.
The people you meet day in and day out, week in and week out, need your testimony. I'd like somebody to be praying, give them your testimony, Lindell. Man, I used to give a testimony when I first got saved. Well, they would take me around, knock on the door, get me inside the house and say, tell them, Lindell. And I'd tell them how I got saved, and they'd be crying and weeping, and people would get saved. We had a bunch of people get saved that way when I was very, very just getting saved myself. Just been saved. And had a good fellowship in the church. Wow. What a blessing. I was so happy to be forgiven. I was happy to be delivered from cigarettes and alcohol and gambling, cussing. All of a sudden I had a changed life. And wow, what a blessing. I got saved. I'd been a church member for a lot of years, but I wasn't changed. I pray your love may abound and more in knowledge and in all judgment. I sometimes don't know how to put my love into real effect. You don't want to pick up a hitchhiker because you don't might be a dangerous person. You sometimes get into situations that you don't know the best way to get out of them. And you ought to protect, if you're the man of the house, as far as I'm concerned, you ought to be protecting your family. Amen. And so you don't take some careless moves or pick up some people that you don't know, because that might be endangering your own house, your own car, your own children, your own wife. So love needs to abound in knowledge. Not just love, just love without knowledge is a dangerous thing. And judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent. How many, as Brent was speaking, how many people are in churches but they're not living like they ought to be living, and it's bad judgment for their kids and their family and for the church? And that you would abound more and more in knowledge and in judgment. Boy, that's a good prayer you can pray for me. I pray for you. We don't want love that doesn't have good judgment. You can love the wrong things. I want to love the right things. I want you to love the right things. You may approve things that are excellent. You know, sometimes people approve a lot of things that really are not excellent. So that's a good prayer. And that you might be sincere. I know a lot of us, we have polite ways of doing things. And the polite way would be, well, how do you like this shirt? Oh, I love that shirt. When I was in high school, ninth grade, I made up my mind. I said, I'm going to quit lying. You know what little white lies are? Does this make me look fat? No, honey, no, no. Yeah, you look dumpy. Actually, I went on a I was dating Verlene, and I went on the first time to pick her up at the house, and her mother was watching professional wrestling. And she was into it. Man, she was in the catch. And I had to wait a few minutes on Verlene. And I said, you know, they're friends. She said, oh, no, they're not. They hate each other. I said, no. They probably flip a coin to see which one wins this week in this town. Oh, no, they're, oh, boy, she just was all into it, you know. And like a foolish young man in the ninth grade, about 16 years old, I confronted her with what I thought was common sense. She didn't like me until I brought her daughter back from the mission field. I think the only thing that turned, after that, I was better than Billy Graham. I could drive her car and whatever. And she could ride with us. But I made a mistake in telling her really what I thought. I really should have lied a little bit, you know. Excuse me for saying that. But you need to approve of things that are excellent and bound in knowledge. And I would like to be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Man, that's a good prayer. He's praying for you. What wisdom is in there? Sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ under the glory and praise of God. Now look at verse 12. I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me. How many times was he beaten with stripes? How many times was he stoned? How many times was he picked up, put in jail? How many years did he spend before Rome in his own house before he gets to see the emperor? He said, I want to approve things that are excellent and sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. We're supposed to live for the glory and the praise of God. Amen. We're supposed to have a testimony for the world to let them know that you've been born again, that you're different, that you're not going the same way you used to go. I remember one time I had a principal that I liked very much. I was a school teacher. And they gave him a birthday party at a bar. Well, I just got a Coke, but you couldn't tell my Coke from the liquor that was going out and around. And so I was really embarrassed, got caught in between a rock and a hard place. I wanted to honor him because he was a very good man, but I didn't like the situation I was in. Because they would say, yeah, there's the preacher, he's going out there drinking, you know. Well, all he looked like was a Coke, but that's what all theirs looked like. Sometimes we get ourselves in all sorts of messes. You want to be honest and you want to be sincere and without offense. How about that? Sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. I don't know about you, but I sometimes find it hard to choose my attitude, my approval, my participation in some things that are going on in life. And yet I do want to stand out. I want a testimony. Pray for me that I'll have a testimony that will bring honor to Christ and a testimony that would win somebody to get their sins forgiven and their soul saved and changed. Wow. What a beautiful thing. And that my life would be, look at verse 11, unto the glory and praise of God. That's a pretty good prayer. How well do you pray when you're praying for your kids? How well do you pray when you're praying for your husband or wife? How well do you pray when you pray for the church and the testimony? How much of it is really in knowledge and in all good judgment? Prove things that are excellent and without offense till the day of Christ. Wow, what an image of what I would like to do, what I would like to be, what I would like the church to be. Look at verse 12. I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel. That's an interesting statement. Do you realize in the book of Corinthians, he will tell you how many times that he was beaten, 39 stripes, how he was stoned and left for dead, how he was let out of a window and in the wall to escape, and how many times he went out and preached. And here's this bold man. He goes out in the open air in an open park, and he sees all of these images to these different gods that they worshiped. And he said, I found one to the unknown God. Let me tell you about him. I know who the unknown God is. Let me tell you who he is. He got rocked out. He got ran out. He got put in jail. He got beat. He got left for dead. Wow. The things which have happened unto me. And then he says, they've fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel. You know, with the boldness that what Paul had a tremendous amount of boldness. Now, he was a scholar. No doubt about it. This man was a brilliant man. He was well educated in his day, in the day when a lot of people couldn't even read or write. In fact, I pastored a few churches when I was in college, and one of them, I had several families that just did not know how to read. They said, you're supposed to check off if you read the scriptures before the Sunday school class. And they said, if we have it read to us, will that count? I said, yeah, I'll check. You let them read the Bible to you, that's fine. But it was amazing. Here I'm in America. I'm in a college town. And I'm pastoring a small church in a community. And there are people there that didn't read and write. I imagine there are still some people that way today. I don't want to say how it could be, but it's the truth. I had one kid one time in the ninth grade. Yeah, I was teaching English. And he was a good football player. Man, he was solid on the team. He didn't do a thing. He took an F in everything. Nice enough. He was polite. He wasn't belligerent. He wasn't ugly. He just didn't do anything but play football. Back in those days, you didn't have to make good grades to stay on the team. So he didn't care whether he flunked. He was a fairly intelligent boy, but he just had no use for school. So I don't know what he turned out. He was actually killed in the school. There was a small boy, and one of the gangs decided that they were going to punish him, and they were high on glue, two of them, and they came to school at lunch. And they picked on this boy, and this boy had the locker next to Jesse. Well, Jesse was a good football player and a good fighter, whatever. He began to fight him. Well, they stabbed him to death, and he died right there in the hallway. I don't know who got them, the lawyer, Fred's the man, but he was one of the biggest lawyers in town. He got them out as self-defense, because they came to kill this little kid. Jesse stepped in defending the little kid, and they stabbed him twice and killed him, and he died right there in the hallway. They wanted to put the kids back in that school the next week. These two boys. There were teachers that were threatening to do things to these kids. That's bad news. That's a sad thing. Those two boys got off on this one. I found out later, I checked out about where they, what happened to them. One of them was killed in a gang thing, and the other one was killed in prison. They both died just a few years later. Boy, the things that have happened to me have fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. Many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. What he's trying to tell you is that all of these things I went through, the stonings, the attacks, the stripes upon my back, and my still being bringing my testimony out here, and everybody knows it's for a religious reason, it made the rest of the brethren think, hey, we need to be preaching. We need to be opening up our testimony. Our missionaries went down to Mexico, and they went down there to teach some people how to get saved and how to street preach. We got a lot of street preachers in Mexico. Praise the Lord for them. But you know, they could do that. The boldness of our missionaries, preaching in the streets, preaching out in front of the parks. The Mexicans said, I can do that. And they got to doing it with them, and before long, they're good preachers. And all of a sudden, they say, well, I think I'll go another town. And they go from town to town to town to town, and that's what I, testimony of this painting. There's about 200 street preachers in Mexico right now, preaching the gospel every week. There's little churches start broken up, starting off all over the place. Isn't that beautiful?
Amen.
That's absolutely beautiful. That's what he's saying here, that the things which have happened to me with all of his stripes, and he tells you about it, you can read about it in Corinthians. He said, it's the things that have happened to me have brought a furtherance of the gospel. People are much more bold to preach the word than they'd ever been before. Why? Well, this guy's still alive and he's still preaching. I read a book one time about World War II, and it was about this Presbyterian pastor in Germany that was arrested by Hitler's group. They had to keep changing the guards because he's witnessing to them. They hold him in the cell, and he's got two guards outside that cell, and he's witnessing to them about getting saved and taking the Lord, and they were afraid of his influence that he had. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing. Well, that's what Paul's doing. Paul is here to see the emperor. What sort of a chance is that? If I wanted to see the mayor, I probably couldn't. You probably couldn't either. You might see your secretary. You might see somebody to maybe set up something, whatever. But man, he's going to see the emperor. And while he's there, he's in prison, so to speak, which is his own. He has his own house, and he's got visitors that can come see him and all this other thing. He said, my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace. I imagine he was a real spectacle. Thank you, sir. He was a spectacle. My bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace. They know why I'm here. Well, so that makes the rest of the believers that would might be more timid than Paul have boldness. It's sure easy to go out and let the other fellow preach first in the street. Isn't that right? Isn't that easy for you? Many of you might go street preach and pass out tracts, but you don't want to do the street preaching. You want to let somebody else like Billy or Brent or somebody like that, Stephen, you stand up and do the preaching. Well, they, because of his boldness, that meant they got their boldness. Confident in my bonds, more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. But the other of love, knowing that I'm set for the defense of the gospel. This is a very interesting verse, verse 18. What then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice. Now, I have a hard time with this verse. Personally, I want to stop everybody that's preaching false doctrine. I don't want them preaching false doctrine. But do you realize that Martin Luther was a Catholic priest, a scholar, and he's teaching in the church? But you know what? He's studying all the time. He's reading the Bible all that time. And he came to the truth, salvation by grace. He takes his stand. And a great movement comes out. Salvation, people are saved and whatever. Well, the boldness of the man. Do you realize that Whitfield probably died an Anglican minister? Never left the Anglican church as far as I know. John and Charles Wesley died Anglican ministers. They never left the church. They didn't rebel against the church. They just started preaching the gospel. And my, did God give a blessing. Street preachers and preachers in the Old West, some of them are pretty rough fellas. But they got the word of God, and whether in pretense or truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice. Now, I used to get to school earlier than most of the rest. And I would be at my desk. One of the janitors at one of the schools I was at, he was a Jehovah's Witness. And he'd see my Bible on my desk, and he'd come in and ask me questions. Well, I began to ask him what he thought and what he believed, and why and where he was going. Well, it ended up that he got saved. And when he got saved, he went back to his Jehovah's Witness meeting and told him he got saved. And boy, they wanted to bring down, have me do debates with some of their people from Dallas and Fort Worth and whatever, you know. An amazing thing. Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice. He said, with all boldness as always, so now Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. That man, that Jehovah's Witness janitor, he got saved. He resisted his elders there and was in a Baptist church. And praise the Lord. He just saw my Bible on my desk. I didn't purposely witness to him. I didn't try that way until he asked me questions. When he asked me questions, yes, I explained it to him. I showed him in the scriptures. And he got saved. And he finally left that church and was going to a Baptist church when I left the school. So he says, what then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. That is a very hard verse for me to take. But I'm going to take Paul's word on it that it's a good thing that Christ is preached, even if he's preached in ignorance. It may be the very thing that leads somebody to Jesus. For to me to live is Christ. But to die is gain. Boy, that sentence fits my situation. To die is gain. You know what I believe? I believe when I die, Jesus is going to come meet me and carry me into his bosom. I believe I'm going to heaven. I believe I'll see Verlene again and my mom and dad and my sister and a whole lot of people that I've loved over the years. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. To die is gain.
That's what it says.
My dear wife suffered for 3 years terrible pain. She asked me to pray that she would die. She would get out of her pain. And I prayed that way. That didn't mean it didn't hurt me, and it was hard to do. But I'm going to heaven. Are you? If you're going to heaven, wow. Have you read about heaven? Read about the love of God, read about the blessings. You know, the big telescope, I'm fascinated by it. They said, what did they learn? That the universe was a whole lot bigger than what they thought it was. That's all they learned. They ought to learn there's a God out there somewhere.
Amen.
This is a beautiful pulpit. I bought the wood and got the carpenter to do it. I think he did a beautiful job. You know something? I'm going to heaven. My sins are forgiven. I'm dressed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to heaven because I preach the gospel. I'm not going to heaven because I'm good. I'm going to heaven because Jesus paid my debt.
Amen.
He went to the cross for me. He paid for my stupidity and my ignorance and my lust, my anger. And he dressed me up in his righteousness. If you're trying to be good to go to heaven and hope that maybe all the good people get to go there, I don't think you'll make it. You have to have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Without it, you do not have a perfect righteousness. And by the way, it's not your work and your labor, your giving of money or your service. It says it's the gift of God. The gift of God. You know what a gift is? If you have to pay for it, it's not a gift. If you have to work to pay it back, it's not a gift. The gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of God. That's grace. Do you realize that grace is unmerited favors. Favors you do not deserve. And that's the only way salvation works. Some people say, well, you can't know that you've got eternal life and you can't know that you're saved now and whatever. Oh, yes, you can.
Amen.
Oh, yes, you can. And it's a beautiful thing. I thank God not that the that I'm good. I thank God that he was good. I thank God that he loved me enough to send his son to die on the cross, to pay my debt, and to attach his righteousness to my book, my credit, my life. What are you basing it on? The righteousness of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's grace. You did not deserve it. You never will deserve it. You did not pay for it. You never could pay for it. It's the gift of God, which is, by the way, eternal life. Isn't that beautiful?
Amen.
The gift of God is eternal life. Thank God. Father, bless your word. Touch hearts and lives. Humble us. Guide us and help us and strengthen us. Forgive us of our ignorance. Put a desire to please you into our hearts. May we be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. May our life be for you in Christ. And then let us die in the gain of eternal life. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.